T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
The San Francisco skyline. This is the Damon Bruce Show on 95.7 The Game. Now, Damon Bruce.
Welcome, welcome. It is great to have you here. What a game last night. Game 7 for the ages, Western Conference Finals for the ages, and it sets up what could be an NBA Finals for the ages. It is certainly the matchup the network wanted to give to you. It's the network matchup dream. It is one of the all-time ratings winners already. Game 7, the most watched game in the history of cable basketball. That's not bad, right? Can't do too much better than that. Warriors and Cavs, Part 2, Electric Boogaloo. Let's do it. Let's do it. There's an awful lot different between these two teams now. It's not like last year's finals at all. As a matter of fact, the only thing that Cleveland has still going for it from last year's finals is that it's Cleveland. And nothing good in the finals ever happens to teams from Cleveland. The pressure is something that's real to win. And I think that the Cavaliers will bow to the pressure and they'll bow to the superior basketball team that is the Golden State Warriors. It is not going to be easy. LeBron is going to bring this. He absolutely knows an awful lot of his legacy, and probably the best chance that he will have remaining in his career, certainly the best shot he's ever going to have in Cleveland, it feels like, is right here and now. So this is just a monster, monster moment in the history of NBA basketball. Can LeBron win the NBA Finals, appearing in it in the sixth straight year, or can Steph Curry absolutely cement their place and their crown as defending NBA champs? Ethan Sherwood Strauss, the book is officially back on. 73 and didn't do it would be a terrible title. 73 and still can get it done. There's a book I'm interested in. Ethan Sherwood Strauss joining us on 95.7 The Game. What's going on, man? How are you?
I'm just so happy to be speaking to my book agent in a public manner. It's fantastic.
Look, man, this is as historic a Western Conference Finals as we will probably ever sit through in our careers covering basketball. Coming down from 3-1 is remarkable, especially against a team that is that good and as experienced as Oklahoma City is. We'll save the preview for the finals for a little bit later on. Let's not gloss over what we just saw in the Western Conference Finals. What do you think was the defining moment of the whole thing?
I like that. I like that. Let's talk about what just happened and appreciate what just happened and not get into the whole preview shebang. The most iconic moment to me is Steph Curry holding up the 7 after stealing the ball from Russell Westbrook and holding it up to the Oklahoma City crowd. That, to me, right there, that photo, if you've seen it, that photo of him holding up the 7 and Russell Westbrook sneering at him, that to me is the mental image, other than maybe, you know, Draymond kicking Steven Adams right there in that hilarious photo on the cover of the Oklahoman. Other than that, that one is the iconic image I'll remember.
That is definitely the most demonstrative Steph Curry's ever been after a basketball game. For a guy who is definitely built his image on being approachable and likable, I think he put on the black hat a little bit with that one last night, and I like it. I kind of do. I like my reigning undefeated MVP to be a little frosty.
Yeah, he's always been like that too, and right now people are getting a little bit annoyed about it. They're sort of they pointed out to almost suggest that there's a hypocrisy there, as though somebody, if they're a nice person off the court, somehow them taunting and reveling in their success shows that they're really a fraud and they're really they're really arrogant and everything. You know, it's just that's how he is and that's what he's comfortable doing. And, you know, he's not really going to change himself. He's not going to change himself. I think those are the people we actually hate. They're the people who try to change themselves to fit what we want. Like Alex Rodriguez, probably upon getting some pushback, would probably change it. You know, Steph's going to do what he's going to do. And, man, that was relief from him in Game 7, it seemed, at the end of the game when it was finally sealed, as much as it was joy. I think that the Warriors were relieved. They were relieved. It was a scene unlike any I'd seen after a victory in the hallways and the bowels of Oracle Arena. And it was just an overarching sentiment of, man, that was close.
17th win this season after trailing by double digits. That's the most in the NBA. They trailed by 13 in this game. Then go on a 29-12 run in the third quarter where the shooting clinic begins. It continued into the fourth quarter. Having said all that, it might have been old man Livingston's Mama Chewbacca dunk that really, I think, turned the tide of that game. That's when the Thunder started to unravel a little bit to the naked eye on the court. What'd you think?
That was so important, too, because Livingston's just not been able to get anything going, you know, for the series.
Yeah.
And they put centers on him, and it seemed to almost mess him up a little bit. Like, he didn't quite know how to attack the problem. And he looked frustrated. I was watching him at halftime during warm-ups, and he missed a few free throws in a row, and he couldn't even get that to go. But it seemed like just getting a shot to drop. As you remember, before that dunk, he tried a little push shot. He had some space on it. It hit front rim, and it just kind of got down. It got down, and then it almost looked like there was relief for him, and he sprinted at the next opportunity. And I thought that was a huge moment. We're going to forget how tense and nervy that game was when they were down 13. This team right here, they are the team that likes to drive without a seatbelt. They do like to feel a little bit of that adrenaline kick, it almost seems, where they put themselves in these situations. But, man, do they ever find a way to get themselves out of them, too.
Ethan Sherwood Strauss here on 95.7 The Game, talking about the Warriors and what they just accomplished coming back down from 3-1. You know, Curry, 98 points over three elimination games. That's the highest player ever facing elimination games, 5 through 7 of a series. So there's that. There's the fact that Klay Thompson is an absolute throat-slitting assassin now, that they got that going for them. What I also thought was that they just got a little burst of moments from a guy like Varejão. I mean, last night's game is why they signed Varejão, right there. If he didn't play another minute, he has lived up to the promise of his contract.
He looked off a wide-open Steph Curry behind the three-point line and then dribble drove and finished. What was that?
Probably don't want to lean on that as your primary option, but it worked last night.
You know what? That just shows, if you look at the splits, the home and road splits of the Warriors bench players, man, there's a dramatic difference between at home and on the road for those guys. And I think probably best epitomized by that play by Varejão, where he was just playing way over his head, but he was riding the energy of the crowd and magnificently, really. I mean, that little push from the bench at that particular moment, that was some important separation. I think Kerr might have called it the most important segment of the game, or one of them. So while I can't endorse that approach from Varejão in most instances, I think it spoke to the force he was playing with.
We're going to preview the NBA final here in 1 minute, but first, let us spend one more minute. Forget Game 7. You don't get to Game 7 without Game 6. And Klay Thompson threw down one of the all-time, not on my watch games I have ever seen. 11 threes in a road elimination game. that gets its own chapter right there, Ethan.
I mean, it was unbelievable. It wasn't just the production, the fact of the production. It wasn't just the amount of points. It was the degree of difficulty on the shots and really the eagerness with which he shot them. You know, it wasn't like he was even getting forced in some of these situations. And it was an incredible performance. And really, I was so impressed with how Klay has done this postseason, because the last three postseasons, he hasn't quite played up to his standard, but I think he almost made up for it and came through in moments they desperately needed him, carrying the offensive load when Steph was out, and then as Steph was just working his way back after he returned, still continuing to carry them. just an amazing job from Klay. And I really can't even describe it that well, because how can you describe something so superlative? You know, there's really nothing you can add to, you can't say much about it. It's just amazing.
The amount of legacies and the direction these two franchises go in based off the results last night is something we'll only be able to comprehend at the beginning of next season, and we see where all the dust settles here. Kevin Durant and the Thunder have to just be exasperated that they did not get this done. The Thunder have now lost to the eventual NBA champion four times in the postseason since moving to Oklahoma City, and in a few weeks, that could be 5 of 6 total times if the Warriors go on to beat the Cavaliers. Do you think he is looking at this as still my best chance to win a title, or I've taken this as far as I can, as he considers his future?
I think he has to look at it as still his best chance. I mean, they're loaded. I think this is still a good postseason for Sam Presti, in sort of flaunting the amount of talent. I mean, remember how young Steven Adams is. Steven Adams looked great this postseason.
Yep.
He's the type of player where you'd just be happy to have him on your team, and he's 22 years old. I think that is a major factor in Oklahoma City's favor, and you can just look at that moment where they're up by 7, there's under 6 minutes to go in game 6, they're in the bonus, the Warriors have yet to draw a foul. I mean, in that moment right there, it's in their grasp. So I think Durant probably looks at that and says that they have enough to get it done, and so I would be very surprised if he signed with another team.
Looking ahead to the finals, I know that Cleveland's built differently, functioning differently, maybe even coached differently, although I do believe David Blatt has them sitting exact same situation that they're sitting in right now, an easy road to the final. I think it would have happened had they not made the change. Maybe I'm wrong. We'll never know. But Tyronn Lue gets credit for doing what he's done here. What do you think is going to be the bigger difference in this finals as opposed to last season? The fact that the Cavaliers are healthy, or the fact that Klay Thompson is now Jack the Ripper?
Probably the Cavs are healthy. I think it probably just changes the strategy and just the complexion of the finals, where they're now this team that's going to try to outshoot the Warriors, and they're moving the ball, they're firing up a bunch of threes, and they're playing a lot of Channing Frye. It's going to look totally different from that finals that was stuck in the mud. I'm interested to see it. So this is a random tangent, though.
I love it. My show's built for random tangents. Go.
I found it so strange the way that we responded to LeBron's last finals. I felt, and this is a hot take, if he was in a Miami Heat uniform, we would have been crushing him. But because he was in a Cavs uniform, and he had placated a lot of people and made a lot of people happy, and there weren't many expectations because his teammates weren't as good, the fact that he was missing 20 shots a game in the finals was just fine. That was just fine. It's like, oh, he's trying so hard. We can't blame him.
He did have to go one-man army, though. I mean, he really did.
But here's the thing. That didn't influence the quality of shots he was getting. I mean, he was single covered. The Warriors' whole strategy, and they said it to me before the final started, and I even said it on the Dan Le Batard show before the final started, it was going to be let LeBron shoot. They were going to single cover him, and they were going to let him shoot. And he went 8 of 24 on wide open shots, according to SportVu. I mean, he'd been missing shots the entire postseason. And then he went out the next season and missed a ton of shots, too, from the outside. He's starting to get it back. He's starting to get his jumper back. But we just forgave all that. We just said, oh, that's fine. That's great. The idea that he's missing a bunch of wide-open shots, the idea that when David leaves at center, he can't get to the rim against Andre Iguodala. I'm just saying, it's very strange to me that Andre Iguodala got Finals MVP for locking him up, and yet we praise him and say that was a great performance.
Right. I mean, he's
called BS on it.
Yeah, I mean, I thought it was a little, it's tough to follow the logic there. I mean, the guy either had an awesome series or he got shut down by the MVP. It's kind of tough for both to happen. That's the perfect place for us to wrap up this conversation.
Mm-hmm.
When do you think Kerr goes to the Iguodala card? Right away in game one, or does he save it like an ace up his sleeve?
I think he should go to it right away. I'm not sure what he'll do. I mean, they might play a conservative because they got a little too gimmicky in the last series. I mean, they ultimately won the series in part because they returned to their base defense against Oklahoma City, as opposed to the initial one that they were showing, where Draymond was roving off Robertson and Klay Thompson was guarding Serge Ibaka. So maybe that makes them more conservative, but I still say you got to have Iguodala out there. LeBron shot 35% from the field in his minutes against him in last year's finals. You have to maximize the amount of time that LeBron's on the floor and Andre's on the floor.
Ethan, man, good to see you. Thanks very much. By the way, how about the media seat you get in Oklahoma City as opposed to Golden State, huh?
I didn't want to say. You know, I'm very lucky to be doing what I'm doing. I'm not going to take any shots at the Oracle media seat situation, but I will say that the seats in OKC are quite nice.
You were sitting center court, second row.
I mean, it's not a bad life I have.
Not bad. Okay. Not bad. Hey, thanks an awful lot, man. Great to talk to you, and we'll see you on Thursday night.
Thanks so much, Jim.
Ethan Sherwood Strauss from ESPN.com. Good to talk to him. When we come on back, a few phone calls. At the bottom of the hour, our buddy Tony Bruno stops on by for a whole bunch of fun. And at 5 o'clock, Harrison Barnes. He's in the NBA Finals again. Kind of had another wear Bayesian blend game, but you can't all be ball dominant. You can't all be shooters on a team that's got a lot of shooters to go around. Klay Thompson, he was unbelievable. We'll have more about him coming up. He was just an assassin. And he's a big reason why. Maybe if you wanted to put it all on one player, more than any other Warrior, the reason why they're in the NBA Finals. Where would they have been this postseason without Klay Thompson stepping up and answering every single bell that was rung for him? This is the Damon Bruce Show.
The Damon Bruce Show. 95.7 The Game. You're back with the Damon Bruce Show on 95.7 The Game.
Our buddy Tony Bruno's coming up. We're looking forward to that. We're going to take a few phone calls here, but let me just quickly preview something that we'll go over deeper with Tony. I know that there are Sharks fans who are feeling underserved. John Morosi is going to join us at 6 o'clock tonight, not to talk baseball, but he is actually covering the Stanley Cup for Fox Sports. So John Morosi will be by at 6. We're going to have tons on the Stanley Cup coming up with him. Unfortunately, the Sharks kind of ran into the same game that they ran into in St. Louis game one. They lose it, but they didn't get outskated. They didn't get blown off the ice. It's unfortunate that, what, Burns loses his stick there at the end, and it was definitely a pivotal moment of the game. I know Shark fans don't want to hear the game-winning goal scored by Pittsburgh, but what if I could give it to you in Punjabi? This is what Dan Dibley had waiting for me when we came in today. Dan, I don't know where you got this. This is Radio Gold. As you all know, we love accents. We love languages. We love an international call and a broadcast. This is the game-winning goal for the Pittsburgh Penguins as called on Punjabi Radio India.
Bonino?
At the end, like they're questioning whether that just happened or
not. Like he wasn't paying attention to what all the Boninos that just took place. Wait, wait, was that Bonino?
That is pretty good. Now, are we sure that's Punjabi?
According to my sources deep within the Punjabi Broadcast Network, the PBN, not PBS, but PBN. Yes.
Yes, Punjabi.
The voice crack is my favorite.
I love the voice crack. It's like the Dave Fleming, Edgar Renteria homer. Gone.
Good call. It's gone.
By the way, happy birthday, Dave Fleming.
40.
He hits the 40 club today.
Man.
I even told him on Twitter. I said, welcome to the 40 club. It's like the 30 club, except you'll be a little gassier and you nap more. That's all there is to the difference. Yells.
It's about the last round number birthday that you look forward to.
That's it.
Because I'm getting closer to the next one, and it's a little bit more dread than, you know, 40 is like, oh, yeah, I feel like an adult. I'm a man. I'm right. 40.
Yeah.
The other one is the new F word.
I've always said you can't, you stop talking about it when you can't double it.
Ah, I like that.
40? I can double that. I can hit 80. 50? Eh.
Yeah. Can't double it?
I don't think I want to.
You're not looking at 100? What's your number? Like, if you could write down right now a number of years to live, what are you looking at, Damon?
Give me 88.
88?
Give me 88 years old. That gives me a good 48 more years on the planet.
88's a good run for you?
I think so. Well, I mean, what more do I have to accomplish? Because I don't want to move straight into the, like, I need depends portion of my life.
Sure.
Like, when I can't take care of myself anymore, I want to go.
Benino, Benino, Benino.
Where'd he go?
Benino, 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 Nick. Benino.
Nick. I guess Nick translates to Nick in Punjabi.
I guess.
By the way.
Benino? Can you get the question at the very end real quick? Just give me the question at the very end. Just play the whole thing one more time. It's Radio Gold.
Comentando Samabakia, Cargego, Benino, 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 Nick, Benino.
Sounds like Captain Caveman.
Sama thoda hi rehda lag gaya pata bhi padunga hero, Nick Benino.
And the third guy in the crew wakes up.
Benino?
I was at the snack bar. Was that Benino?
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 And I believe they have four broadcasters, by the way, on that Punjabi broadcast.
Well, you can't have enough. I mean, you got to bring in, like, the Punjabi Jeremy Roenick. You got to bring in the Punjabi Doc Emmerich. You got to bring in the Punjabi Brody Brazil.
Right.
Benino?
That's the Punjabi Barkley.
Benino, Benino, Benino.
That's pretty good.
That's my Punjabi good. Charles Barkley
That's
impression.
Good.
That's all I got for you. Real quick, we got Joe calling from Cleveland about the NBA Finals. How are you, Joe?
Hey, what's going on, guys? How's it going?
How are you? Are you the guy in the opposing market listening to the other market radio stations looking to make a hot take call?
You know what? I wanted to get a perspective on what the fans in Oakland are their take on it, everything. And you guys seem to have a little bit of arrogance and a little bit of overconfidence, I'm seeing.
Well,
you know,
73 wins. And one of the great comebacks in NBA history will put a little pep in your step. And we've seen this before. Like, we have seen this before. And I know that Cleveland's healthier now, but I don't think – I mean, you guys have been playing JV-level competition, and the Warriors have been going up against the best in the business since the All-Star game. I just think that this is a hot basketball team. And if you want to get into a three-point shooting contest with the Golden State Warriors, I wish you luck.
This is a completely different team than last year, though. This let me tell you guys something. That was a heck of a series, a heck of a comeback for Golden State. As I watched them celebrate last night, all I can think of is enjoy it while it lasts, because this is a different year. This isn't about redemption for Cleveland. It's about a day of reckoning for the city of Cleveland. 52 years without a title. Okay, so I'll be happy to buy that book, 73 wins and didn't get it done, because I've gone through 52 years and we didn't get it done.
Joe, I got love for Cleveland. I really do. You fans have just been through the ringer and back again. Don't hold your breath for the parade, buddy. That's all I'm going to say. Do not hold your breath. When it comes to winning titles, I wouldn't get too cocky if I were a Cleveland fan. Let's go to Mike in Oakland real quick. Mike, what do you got?
Hey, what's happening?
How are you, Mike?
All right. Just want to really thank the show for just giving more props than ever to Klay Thompson. Well-deserved. He's actually my favorite player on the Warriors. Always have been. And I like that reference that you said about him being an Avenger.
He is. I mean that's
Hawkeye.
This isn't Batman, I mean, and Robin.
He's as strong as heck, and Draymond's a loud, cocky Tony Stark. But, I mean, Klay Thompson's just dead-eyed from outside, just dangerous.
He really
just
is.
Just dangerous. The only reason why I didn't like him, this is the one, and it's petty because I'm a father and anybody with a daughter out there, yeah, my 17-year-old daughter think he's, like, super hot. So that's the only thing I'm like, hot.
That'll make you hate a guy. Like, the minute you know your daughter likes someone, right, you automatically hate them, right?
Exactly, man. But after game six, I swear, man, underneath my breath, I kind of teared up a little bit, and I called him son.
That's all right. So you're right. Mike in Oakland is ready to bring Klay Thompson into the family based on that game six shooting. That's what 11 threes will do. 11 threes, and you'll be like, okay, you can have my daughter.
They were 5 minutes away from losing that series in six.
Unbelievable. What a performance.
Bonino?
Nope.
Klay Thompson?
It was Klay Thompson. It was not Bonino.
Bonino?
Bonino? I knew that would make you happy.
Not Bonino. Tony Bruno joins me next on 95.7 The Game.
The Damon Bruce Show. 95.7 The Game. We're back with the Damon Bruce Show on 95.7 The Game.
It's great to have you along today. The Golden State Warriors did it. A lot of people said they couldn't. We never said they couldn't. We just said, boy, they have gone out of their way to choose the hardest path possible back to the finals. They still navigated it. They really did. When it comes to navigating, you want someone with experience riding shotgun with you through life. And that is why we bring to you each and every week the teachings of the one and only Tony Bruno.
Don't give me no lines and keep your hands to yourself.
Tony, it happened with an incredible game six by Klay Thompson, who is now all grown up and turned into a stone-cold killer himself. The Warriors hold serve at home, win a dramatic game seven. It's one of the best Western Conference finals ever, and the Warriors come out on top, Tony.
Unbelievable. And, you know, we were talking about this last week about, you know, they got to win that game five. And then when they go to, everybody figured, you know, not everybody, but a lot of people thought, oh, Oklahoma City, yeah, they got to go in there. That's going to be impossible. But if you can get that game six, you come back home. And remarkably, which I didn't find out until earlier today because I don't really check betting odds for the most part, the Warriors were 7-point favorites in game seven last night.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, Vegas.
7-point favorites, and they were like -205 to win 100. So obviously with the home court and the fact that the, unfortunately for the Oklahoma City Thunder, they've been in this situation before, unfortunately, in a situation where everybody thought that in a closeout game on the road, the Oklahoma City Thunder would find a way not to get it done. But I'm going to put it on the Warriors. I mean, I thought that the shot selection and the hesitance, the fact that the Oklahoma City Thunder were rushing shots and running down the floor and just not slowing it down was, to me, the most mind-blowing factor in game seven.
Yeah, but the thing, you know what though? But the game played way to the under. I mean, this thing didn't even crack 100 points. Neither team did. So, I mean, you want to say slow it down on the scoreboard? They did. Maybe tempo wise, they didn't, but they did on the scoreboard.
Yeah, but my point is, they're trying to just jack up shots instead of working the clock. And, you know, you have a lead. You're on the road. Listen, I'm happy the Warriors won because, you know, now we got all the people say, well, you know, they won the 73 games. And they were wiped out. And how many games did we hear? Oh, you know, Steph Curry, hey, he's not 100%. You know, obviously he's hurt. He's not telling anybody.
Boom. Yeah.
Game six, and then obviously game seven. He ever went to Lords over the weekend, where Lords visited him, concert stop out there with Bernie Sanders in the Bay Area.
I'll tell you, Bernie Sanders and Danny Glover walking into the building together. It looks like the worst time travel version of Lethal Weapon you've ever seen.
And both guys said, I'm getting too old for this, I believe,
yeah, absolutely they did. They are too old for this crap once and for all. Roger Murtaugh and Bernie Sanders have had it, everyone. That's the buddy cop movie we've all been waiting for.
Exactly.
Really...
How about Bernie Sanders? You got to give him. I feel the burn today, but it's bursitis in my hip. It has nothing to do with Bernie Sanders because he's already dealt with Pennsylvania. But got to get Bernie love out there in the Bay Area. You know, just all over California. But here he is sitting in not even great seats with our good buddy Josh Gum out there, a good friend of the program, and his wife taking a picture and then getting it all over network television today.
Well, it just goes to show you, you know, he's willing to sacrifice and be one of the people sitting somewhere in the middle of the lower bowl where most presidential candidates in their way of thinking would have them in the first, I don't know, two, three rows of their own luxury box. He really is a man of the people. When he walked in, I actually turned around and told a couple of people in the media, I was like, you know, hey, by the way, he's here for your ticket. You're appropriating it to him. It's yours. You got to give it up now.
It's a
socialist joke.
The Damon Bruce photo op that you posted.
I got to run into Craig Sager last night. That was the photo op that I got
great.
To post.
Yes.
And, you know, I
not
really,
Bernie Sanders, Craig Sager.
Craig's frickin' Sager is who we got to talk to last night. You know, I told him, I said, really, this is, you know, you're as big of a TV sports journalistic icon as really, you know, look, I mean, he was there when Hank Aaron was like circling the bases. Like, this guy goes way back. And I've always liked him. He might have dressed like a crazy person, but he always tried to ask legit questions. And I just went up to him and said, you know, all the stuff that we talk about and the trait of sticking to it and fighting the good fight and not giving up that we're going to attach to this game, like, you're doing that for real, man. And so we're just all behind you. And he was very receptive. He was very, very nice.
Yeah, great, great guy. And I've been fortunate to know him a long, long time. And, you know, he's been through it a couple of times and looking good again. But it's a tough fight, as you mentioned. And everybody rooting for Craig Sager, one of the great guys and great professionals in our industry.
Tone, Dan Dibley here, longtime listener, first-time question asker. How you doing, Tone?
I'm good. Thank you for checking in today. Now, you know our buddy Josh B. Gum is a big animal. He takes care of animals. He has a boarding place out there in the Bay Area, and he and his wife were there. Josh used to come out to Sharks games, hang out all over the place. It was interesting to see him all over the network news today.
Are we going to get you out here, Tone, for one of these either Stanley Cup final games or one of these NBA finals games?
Probably not. I'd love to be out there either in the tab. But how about the Bay Area? I saw last night the ninth area in the history of sports to host both the Stanley Cup final and an NBA championship.
Look, these are. We're living high on the hog from a sporting standpoint out here. Over the last 3 years, Tony, we got a World Series, an NBA Finals, and the second one of those starts on Thursday. The Stanley Cup Final gets here this weekend. We hosted a Super Bowl. The 49ers played in a Super Bowl. We hosted a WrestleMania, an America's Cup, and soon the NCAA football title game is coming. Things are good around here.
What do we call these? The salad days?
The salad days
of sports in the Bay Area. No doubt about it.
Speaking of salad days, though, no one is enjoying their Sharks It happened in Pittsburgh, obviously. The only joy that we've been able to pull out of the Game 1 defeat, Tony, was found by Dan Dibley this morning, who asked me, did you hear the game-winning goal on Punjabi Indian radio? And I said, no. I wasn't tuned in. Would you like to hear the game-winning goal called in Punjabi, Tony?
Namaste, my Indian friend.
Here it is.
Kumintana Samabakya Karge Go.
How good is that?
Wow. That's phenomenal. Phenomenal.
It's Bonino, 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 Bonino. It felt like an homage to like some of the great Alberto Contador calls. You know what I mean? It really did. Almost felt soccer-ish.
Was that really Punjabi radio?
Oh, I swear to God. That's
Indian radio?
That really happened. That's not a bit. That happened.
I didn't realize there was a Punjabi radio network.
It is a Punjabi network, obviously covering this. By the way, I'd like to thank Gary Bettman for running his Game 1 up against an NBA Game 7, but being sure to clear those Punjabi restrictions
I have a CD from the Punjabi DJ, one of the great Bhangra remixes, which are phenomenal.
Oh, the Bhangra?
Bhangra.
Oh, yeah.
Bar Bhangra, yes.
And not to be confused with the Italian soccer bunga bunga parties, which is totally different thing.
Well, as you guys know, big soccer fans that you are, including Dan Dibley, very huge soccer guy, the Copa America is going to be here at Lincoln Financial Field in Philadelphia this summer.
It's coming here as well. Levi Stadium is going to host a couple rounds of this. I think even the championship round of the Copa Cabana Cup that's coming this summer.
Centenario, Damon, the 100-year anniversary of the Copa America.
Exactly right. That's great Copa knowledge right there.
That is.
And, of course, I'm sure you watched the Champions League final from over the weekend with the big gag job from Atletico Madrid hitting the crossbar on the penalty kick.
Exactly right. But they went to penalty kicks, and you know, when you go to penalty kicks, nobody's really happy.
Shouldn't they just?
No. The regular season of the NHL.
Why don't they just go golden goal? Why don't they play till they drop? It's the last game of the year. I don't get
it. They should do golden goal. They got rid of the golden goal, which is stupid. That's the way you do it.
It's the way you do it, kids.
If there's a sport that screams for sudden death, it's soccer, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. It'd be like deciding an NBA game on free throws. Think how uninspiring that would be. Tony, the finals will begin on Thursday. We'll be deep into the NBA finals when we talk to you on next Tuesday. What do you think goes down here? What kind of a chance you giving LeBron and the Cavs?
Well, you know, people talk about last year that, you know, there was no Kyrie Irving, there was no Kevin Love. So, therefore, this year, with those guys healthy, this ain't the Toronto Raptors, kids. And you just saw the Warriors pull off one of the great comebacks of all time, not just because they came back from 3-1 down, which has happened. The fact that they came back from 3-1 down when they were being drubbed in games. I mean, there were games where they were just being wiped off the floor, and it looked like this series was over. So, to me, LeBron's amazing. Obviously, Love and Kyrie Irving are there, but I just think the Warriors just showed you why they're the best team in basketball. But it's going to be a great series. I don't think this is going to be one of those surprising, you know, five-game series. I think this one could go 6 or 7 minimum. Well, I can't go more than that unless the NBA decides it's so good that they're going to keep playing until the next training
camp. I'll tell you right now, if the Warriors win this thing in 7 and they schedule a game 8, the fix is in. The fix is in, Tony. Thank you, brother.
We got to get it over before the NBA draft happens, I think.
Yeah, we absolutely need to. The Sixers are on the clock, and we can't wait to get an update from all that. Tony, you're the best. Thank you, good sir.
All right, boys, have fun.
Thank you very much. Tony Bruno here on 95.7 The Game. When we come back, we are going to unload. Wait, hold on. What are we going to do
wait
exactly?
Wait for it.
We are going to unload the good people on hold. If you're on hold, we're going to get to you as soon as we can at 888-957-9570. And we will remind you at 5 o'clock, Harrison Barnes joins us for a look back on history and a preview of Warriors Cavs Part 2, Electric Boogaloo.
The Damon Bruce Show on 95.7 The Game. Now, back to the Damon Bruce Show on 95.7 The Game.
Game 1 of the NBA Finals begins Thursday at 6 o'clock. Warriors are encouraging fans to arrive early. You're going to have 5 o'clock rush. You're going to have a busy week coming to an end. You're going to have everybody on the road trying to get home to watch this. You're going to want to get out of work a little bit early on Thursday if you got tickets. And if you can afford tickets, you can probably afford to get out of work a little early. For game 1 of the NBA Finals, the ticket prices are through the roof. The interest is through the roof. The matchup is through the roof. And we will be looking at all of it with Harrison Barnes coming up at 5 o'clock. From the PenskeAutoSales.com text line, got a guy here named John saying, and I think this is a really good way to say it. He says, D. Bruce, let's put this thing into perspective. The Warriors basically had their worst slump of the year right in the middle of a 7-game series against Oklahoma City in the conference finals, and they still freaking won. That's how good they are. Yeah. That is a very good way to say it, because that is kind of exactly what happened. The worst 2 games they played maybe all year happened in games 3 and 4 of the Western Conference finals, and it looked like it was slipping away, and they got it all back.
The one thing that troubles me, and it is going to pop up again Thursday, is the Warriors have not done great on 3-plus days of rest. I'm going to go through and get the exact number, but if you think about some of their biggest losses, Game 3 Oklahoma City was off a 4-day layoff. Portland Trailblazers coming out of the All-Star break, they got crushed.
Yep.
That was a 7-day layoff.
Yep.
They have lost some games this year with big layoffs. And so that concerns me for game one.
How much time did they have in between games two and three against Oklahoma City? That was a 3-day
layoff. That was like 4 days.
Yeah. So.
And they got throttled.
Well, you know, if they're at best when they're in rhythm. I don't know if the layoff takes them out of rhythm. They've been getting some slow starts. I think that has hurt them maybe more than days of rest in any of these series. But, yeah, another interesting just, I mean, in an NBA Finals that is interesting no matter what perspective you take on it. How do you want to look at this thing? Do you want to look at it just through the prism of LeBron James's career? All right, we could do a week of radio about that. You want to look at this just through the prism of what the Golden State Warriors got going for them now? We could do a week of radio on that. It's just everything we wanted in an NBA Finals. It's all you could possibly ask for. A chance to repeat against the team that doesn't think you deserve the win you got last year. Bad blood is in the air. BPI, by the way, gives the Warriors a 75% chance to win the NBA Finals. Zach in San Francisco. How are you, Zach? What do you got?
Hey, David, I'm doing good. Thanks for taking my call.
You got it, man.
Hey, man, I just wanted to, wax poetic a little bit about the Warriors and how special what they did over this weekend was. To me, to my family, just wanted to throw out, I had four generations watching the game Saturday night. I had my 7-year-old son who's obsessed with the Warriors and Steph Curry. Myself, my mother, and my 91-year-old grandmother watching that Clay Thompson performance.
Very
and,
cool.
You know, it almost had like my grandma's arms like coming up out of her seat, you know, at 91 years old, man, getting so excited, you know, it's just so amazing that the Warriors are doing this for the Bay Area. And, I just want to throw out there for that, make sure to smile on everyone's face that, it's truly something special, man. Thanks for taking my call, David.
Thank you. Thanks for making the call. And I'm so glad that you got to watch it with all those generations of family around you. Think of all the generations of Warrior fans that didn't even get anything close to this. Actually, let's correct this. All generations of all basketball fans have never seen anything quite like this. This is totally new. This is totally new. You know, it was surprising that they didn't put the smalls back onto Curry and Clay on the switches because they were just getting off on Cantor and Adams and whoever was coming out to guard them. The dribble clinic that Steph put on around Stephen Adams, he didn't even get a shot up. But the dribbling that this guy just put on around him, you could tell that he could shake anybody. And you know how every single player, well, not every single player, Dan, that would be a total exaggeration, but all our iconic players seemingly have an iconic move. Dirk, the kick, step, fadeaway. Jordan, jump man. Kobe, maybe the fadeaway in the very end of his career, that spin around baseline fadeaway.
Tim Duncan, the little post bank, right shoulder turn.
The skyhook from Kareem.
The dream shake from Hakeem the Dream, Olajuwon.
Thank you for pronouncing it.
My 13-year-old has got a Olajuwon throwback jersey for his birthday. So
nice.
We're into Hakeem. Yeah.
I like that. The Toy Rocket one or the red and orange?
The Toy Rocket one.
I prefer the red and orange.
Yeah, so does his mother.
Hey, kid's going to be a kid, right? The Steph Curry signature move is sidestepping an outstretched defender one step to the right or left, and getting that three off. It really isn't all the dribbles and the handles and all the boogie that he puts all over his dribble game. It's not. It's just a simple step to the side, three gets launched clean. That's what he does. I can't believe that people haven't figured it out. The minute you go up on the pump fake, he takes one step to the right, three's away. In the blink of an eye. It must be one of those easier said than done things because they're watching the same footage that we're watching. And you got a lot of basketball minds that know more about the game than we'll ever pretend to. And they can't figure out that Steph Curry takes one step to the right after a pump fake and gets up a clean three almost every time he does it.
And in this era of no travels being called, it's a legal move. But back in the day, a lot of these guys, they travel when they shoot their shots, their jumpers.
A lot of these guys travel as they're gaining and maintaining possession of the ball before they even take a dribble.
That's right.
When you're getting that little handoff at the top of the key, that little dish pass at the side pocket, that thing is traveled on two, three steps before a ball's dribbled every time. And the Warriors are just as guilty as any other team in basketball. But we were talking with Harrison Barnes before, and he even said, yeah, that's the NBA. They don't even call traveling anymore. And they know it, and they play like they know it. The crossover by Allen Iverson. You're right about that. He was sick.
The Shaq dunk.
The Shaq Fu hanging on, giving you full,
viscosity?
Legs bent. Legs bent, just total teabagging on the world.
Did you say the Kareem Skyhook?
I did.
I hope you
did. I we had it in there. The Karl Malone arm behind the mailman dunk.
Yeah.
That Deion Sanders basically co-opted into the I'm returning this to the house on you elbow. The people's elbow. The original people's elbow. Harrison Barnes went to the bench last night, but still finds himself in the middle of important second half minutes. He didn't have a monster, but what he does have is a trip to game one of the NBA Finals in his own gym. Harrison Barnes did not have to join us when the regular season came to an end. He continues on doing that. We're deeply appreciative, and he joins me next here on 95.7 The Game. Harrison Barnes, coming out of one of the greatest Western Conference Finals ever played, hopping into an NBA Finals that's going to captivate the entire world of basketball. It's going to be great. And he previews, looks back at everything that has happened, is about to happen next here on 95.7 The Game.
The Damon Bruce Show on 95.7 The Game.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.